Today I want to talk to you, this week and next week, we'll kind of talk about Christmas for a little bit, but I want to talk to you about surviving Christmas. And you go, well, that's kind of an odd title, but what happens is there's a lot of wrapping that's going to go on this season, but I don't want you to get wrapped up in the season. Get wrapped up in the person. And because Christmas has things that happen that are unexpected. And I want to talk to you today about handling the unexpected. So this is just part one, and next week will be part two. But let's go to our scriptures found in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 to 25. It reads this way. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This was unexpected. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, thanks for your word. Teach us, instruct us, and help us with the unexpected. In Jesus' name, amen. This very first Christmas that we kind of call it as really before it happened had its share of stresses come along. And the chances are pretty good that your Christmas, even this year, may have some unexpected interruptions happen. But I hope if you do have some of those interruptions, that you will see it as an opportunity for you to grow in your walk with the Lord. I mean, what are your plans to survive the next 4 weeks? What is it that could disrupt your heart and cause you to not want to sing the songs of Christmas? Today, I want to give you two survival tips, and next week, I'm going to give you two more. But two survival tips that can help us get it through the Christmas season and even the ones yet to come. So let me go back to our story from Matthew. Mary and Joseph, they are engaged to get married. Now, this engagement in that time was already a legal contract. You need to understand it was part of the law. They were engaged, yet there was a long betrothal or long engagement period before they would actually get married and then consummate the marriage. So, you can imagine, and things haven't changed a lot really in 2,000 years. Mary, I'm sure, was planning a wedding, right? And Joseph was planning a honeymoon. I think sometimes we think back in the Old Testament, they weren't real people. They were real people. And they had big plans, I'm sure. So can you imagine a little 15-year-old girl or thereabout named Mary going to her some 20-year-old fiancé Joseph and then having a conversation about a visitation from an angel? I mean, Mary has some news that she needs to let Joseph know, and this news just might not make his day. So they begin to get together. She says, Joseph, I've got something to tell you. But before she can get to her story, he's excited, talking about, oh, here's the floor plans for the house. And by the way, here's some colors that you can choose for the walls. And he's excited, looking forward to them getting married. Somehow in the midst of that, Mary is able to break into the conversation and says something maybe like this. Joe, honey, we need to talk. I'm pregnant. That was an interruption. The plans that Mary and Joseph had just seemed to get interrupted. You have to understand this, though. If God interrupted Joseph and Mary's betrothal, their wedding plans, did you know that he has the right to interrupt ours as well? Even as good as your plans might be, I would suggest keep them flexible. In fact, during this season, there are a lot of people who make plans on top of plans on top of plans. In fact, I went through all this stuff about plan to be here tonight. Just why don't you just come and live at church, you know? But sometimes our plans really just may not be what God has planned for us. You ever thought about it? Hear what James teaches us in chapter 4. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Church, our plans versus God's plans, who do you think is going to win? God. Ultimately, God is going to do what he's going to do. And three Christmases ago, we experienced that in our family. Like every family, it was Christmas Eve. We were making our final plans for Christmas morning, and we're talking about it, getting everything ready. But when I got up the next morning, Christmas morning, I went downstairs to check on everything before the kids got up to make sure everything's all right. But after I went downstairs, I found our dog, Snickers, and here's a picture of him. In fact, that was the Christmas Eve picture. You can't quite see, but he has reindeer ears on. And anyway, but I went downstairs, and I found that our dog, Snickers, had died during the night. Christmas morning! Well, I took care of Snickers, kind of putting him outside, and because I didn't want the kids to have to see him. And I dealt with everything, really, that had to do with the dog, the kennel, the toys, the food. I kind of put it all away because I didn't want it lying around all day long as a reminder. And then it was my duty to go to each child and wake them up and tell them individually, Snickers passed away last night. And I did that individually with them so they could deal with their emotions personally and before we all got together. Now, church, I really don't know if all dogs go to heaven, but Snickers would have made it if they do, okay? You have to deal with theology with your kids in a special way, okay? Snickers dying that evening and that morning for us was not part of our Christmas plans. In fact, it intruded our plans throughout the day. In fact, later on, they all wanted to have a funeral for Snickers. So Christmas afternoon, we had a funeral service for Snickers. During our little funeral, we talked about the good memories that we had with him and what he meant to us. And we were all kind of finished. And then Addison, my youngest boy, had one more thing to say, something I'll probably never forget. He said, at the end, dogs are man's best friend, but Snickers was this boy's best friend. And so we all cried, and we finished up with prayer. We closed the service for Snickers. It changed our plans that day. Now, for some of you, that's frivolous. You go, well, that's just an animal. For others of you, you probably would have joined with us and cried with us. But church, there are others who've had their Christmas plans interrupted with the unexpected that have had a much deeper impact. Back in Kalamazoo, when I was on staff at the church there, we had a family in the church, Rod and Rose Roberts. They had a little baby girl who passed away in the fall just before Christmas. She's just a little baby, just a few months old. Their first little girl, I'm sure their plans were to buy her baby dolls at Christmas and girly stuff and pink stuff, but their plans got interrupted that Christmas. That family spent that season crying, and instead of buying baby stuff, they bought a baby casket. And the only pink at that time was in the flowers at the funeral. Plans could get interrupted. Church, all your best laid plans are subject to interruption. My first survival tip for you this morning is this. Expect your plans to be interrupted. Say that with me. Just expect your plans to be interrupted. You need to live with that thought. Now, probably about this time in this message, you're saying, this is really sad. And I'm not saying that really bad things happen to you at Christmas or will happen to you. All I'm saying is don't get stressed out if your plans get interrupted. You need to trust in the Lord and lean on Him and not on your own understanding. Just yesterday, we had a home going right here in this sanctuary for Elaine Strong. And her death was not a terrible thing. It was not something that was bad, not bad at all. It was a very good thing. She is at home with Jesus. And did you know that Jesus will also be with the Strong family and Jim and his family? And I don't know if Jim is here this morning with his girls or did he make it? I'm just glancing. In fact, the flowers are left here from the funeral yesterday. But did you know that Jesus' name is Emmanuel, God with us? Elaine may be with God, and she's starting her eternity, but God is with us, and God will be with the Strongs. You can trust God when the unexpected things happen in your life. Mary and Joseph's plans got interrupted, but God was in it all. Mary is now pregnant with the Son of God. And God is working a bigger plan than any of them could ever imagine. Let me back up to the story for a moment about Rod and Rose Roberts. By the way, they thought they would never be able to have children again and another child. But God gave them another little girl. And God blessed them with a boy. And today they have a wonderful family. It's okay to expect your plans to be interrupted. It's okay. But a second survival tip for this season, which is really the key to the interruption, is you need to get God's take on the interruption. Joseph could have really blown this. In fact, his knee-jerk reaction to what he heard from Mary was, we're getting a divorce. That was what he was contemplating. You know, listen to verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law because they had already had a law betrothal. I mean, you don't break this. The only way to break it is we have to divorce each other. And yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Do you know Joseph could have embarrassed her? He could have disgraced her socially. He could have even had her executed. But he chose, I'll divorce her quietly, which bought her some time and God a little time because Joseph needed to get God's perspective on what was going on. And in verse 20, we find this. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. As he was considering what to do, because he's the godly man trying to do the right thing, God spoke to him in a dream. And Joseph ended up getting God's take on what was going on. In fact, who named Jesus? Joseph did. It was the father of those days that would name the child. And by the way, where did he even get the name from? From God, from the angel and the dream that he had about the angel speaking. Gave him this name, Jesus, which refers back to an Old Testament Joshua word that he saves, and that he would come and he'd be our Savior. In fact, that's why it's recorded that he would be named Jesus, the one who would take away our sins. But you know what? Because Joseph got God's perspective on this, two things happened to him. He got to marry his sweetheart. What he thought was about to end, he got to marry her. And he was chosen to raise God's only begotten son. And he could have missed out on both of those if he didn't get God's perspective. What an honor for him. There's a lot of people, though, you think, oh, I can't even fathom that God could be in this. There's no way this interruption couldn't be from God. And many times all we can see is those interruptions ruining our plans or messing up things. And so we end up disappointed and we end up defeated and we feel like failures. When God can see so much more. So I have some words for you this morning to help you gain the right perspective on your plans when they get interrupted. And the first word is this: pray. Pray. Pray for courage when you have a tough situation. Pray for wisdom when you need direction. Pray for guidance. Pray for help. Just pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, simply the whole verse says this: never stop praying. Church, I wonder, do we enter in and out of prayer? The Bible says pray always, pray continually, never stop praying. Whatever you're doing and whatever you encounter this season, just say, God, what are you doing? I'm just talking to you. And you know, how many of you have ever had to park like 4 miles from the store that you wanted to get in during Christmas season? And you go, ask God, God, can you give me a perspective on this? Now, I can give you a perspective. You might need the exercise. I don't know what it is, but could God have an encounter somewhere there? Could he be protecting you? Can I tell you, you may think this is really silly, but every time I leave here, I have about probably 3 or 4 different ways I can get home from the church. When every time I drive out, I just have this thought, God, which way do you want me to go home? I try not to fall into routine. I just want to be talking to him. And I just, and if I don't hear him, I'll just then choose the way I want to go. And if I just sense, you know, take Northville Road or take the highway, I just kind of give to that. And I just have that ongoing prayer conversation with God. But then, and then James 5:13 says, are there any of you suffering hardships? Have you had some interruptions in your life, some situations? What does James tell us to do? You should pray. So church, if you're gonna have some unexpected moments, could you just keep on praying? And a second word here I want to help you with is this: perspective. Church, you have to put the interruption in your life into proper perspective. I mean, how bad is it? Because I know a lot of things that we go through in our thinking, we think they're catastrophic. That's how we see them. And then we end up spending $100 worth of worry on a $5 problem. You ever done it? Listen, if your tub and your toilet do not get scrubbed before company comes, it's not the end of the world. And yet that's the way we look at things. We're just like, we're crashing because stuff didn't happen. But what is God doing in it? What's his perspective? I want you to hear Jesus teaching us as disciples in Luke 12. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now let me pause for a moment, because some of you who know this scripture, we jump so quickly to the food and the clothes part. What did he really say here? Do not worry about your life. You're going to hear this again in this passage. And he goes on to say, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Hear what he says in Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Right? Do not worry. Get God's perspective on the situation. Quit worrying. But a third word you need to know is providence. Did you know that God is still in control? He still has every one of your hairs numbered. Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteousness and upright is he. And then God tells us himself in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, are the heavens higher than the earth, by the way? So just like that's higher, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's why I need his perspective. And then Psalm 145, 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. Listen, he's righteous. I mean, he does the right thing in all his ways. But listen to this, and faithful in all that he does. Church, nothing can happen to you without God knowing it. Our life does not always go as expected or like we want it. Chances are your perfect Christmas plans will probably have some unexpected interruptions. It's okay. So expect your plans to be interrupted. Did you know that nothing in your life should be off limits to God? Did you know that Mary surrendered her life to the purpose and the work of God? And God's interruption in her life became our Savior. I don't even know if Joseph got to see that. Joseph falls out of the picture. In the Bible, we don't have any other record really of him. But let me tell you, I'm thankful he's got God's perspective on it. And make sure to get God's take on your interruptions. When God disrupts your plans, maybe he's just trying to accomplish his plan. And it's your choice to either let the interruption surprise you and get you down, rob you of your joy, and keep you miserable. Or you can realize that your plans just might not be God's plans, and it's okay to have the interruption. So my question is, how will you survive this Christmas season? I'm telling you, things will probably not go like you expect. So I want to give you a scripture for you to learn and lean on. Romans 8:28. And we know. Do you really know in your knower, in your heart, in your mind, do you know? And we know that in what? What's that word? All. Some of the things, probably not including Christmas stuff, right? No, in all. And what's that word right after all? Things. That just about covers every thing. And I think sometimes we lose sight because we're like, we think God only works in what we would consider the spiritual. And that he wants to work in your life. And we know that in all things, who? God. Works for the what? The bad? For the good. His ways are perfect. His plan is perfect. His outcome, his desire for all who know him and love him. Let me tell you, those who do not love him, they will perish. That's the sad part of the story. But he has come and done everything he can to offer life to all who would believe and know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called what? According to his purpose, his plan. And Mary and Joseph, they give in to the plan. Mary and Joseph, these young people chosen by God, somehow knew that God is working all things for good because we love him and we've been called according to his purpose. But not just Mary and Joseph, you too. I don't know the interruptions that will happen this Christmas for you. And I know it's a little solemn to think about that. But I'm telling you, get God's perspective. Just expect it. You know what? It's probably going to happen. And God, what are you doing? Because God, I'm talking to you. I'm praying. I'm getting your perspective. And I know the providence of God, that you are sovereign and you've got it under control. And trust him. But God has a first plan that is of utmost importance. And the first plan he has is that all would be saved. That all would repent. If you want to know God's plan, people are like, I wish I knew God's plan. I'm going to give you three of them today. The first one, he wants you saved. That's his plan. The second one is this. When you get saved, he wants to work in your life. He wants to grow you. He wants to show you the path and the way to go, but we do that through prayer. We do that through perspective. We do that understanding his providence. And all of a sudden, I begin to get life, real life, not about clothes and not about Christmas and not even about Easter. It's about him. And that's how we survive seasons of our lives, not just Christmas, every season. Of whatever you encounter. And we set ourselves up for his glory because I want his plan in my life. And then the third plan, he wants to spend eternity with you. Wow. Elaine got to start that a few days ago. My brother got to start that a few years ago. All of us here, we're still waiting. So what do we need to do? We need to work on that second one. And don't feel like interruptions are really an interruption. They're just God saying, let me work in this. And get his perspective on it.